What joy we have to read God's Word. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We will look again this morning at John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And please give careful attention now as we hear God's very Word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Well, thus ends the reading of God's very Word. I'm going to ask Elder Eric Schrader, please, to lead us in prayer. Amen. Well, several weeks ago was the last time that we looked at this particular passage together. And you remember we considered the whole matter of Mary's love for Jesus. And we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ deserves an extravagant love. In the world's eyes, what Mary did was over the top, but when we really understand and see who Jesus is, this was a fitting response. This was what ought to be taking place in our own lives by the grace of God. If we know Jesus, we, like Mary, want to show him our love and devotion, and she did so that day. Today we want to look at Judas. What a shocking contrast. Here you have Lazarus being raised from the dead, a man who had been dead 4 days. And Jesus comes, the sisters meet him, he reveals to them one of the great I am statements, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will not die, and whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet he will live forever. Do you believe this?" And Martha had confessed, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Well, Jesus comes to the mouth of the tomb, says, "Roll the stone away." Martha says, "Now, wait a minute. If you roll the stone away, we're going to be in trouble because there will be a terrible smell He's been dead 4 days, Jesus. Please, please don't do that. And Jesus corrects her very graciously. He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And then Jesus prayed. He says, Father, I know you always hear my prayers, but I am praying this so that the people around me will understand and see more clearly who I am. They may believe that you sent me. And then Jesus cried with a loud voice to a dead man, come forth, called his name, Lazarus, come forth. Now, you and I can do that all day long. Nothing will happen. But the Lord Jesus was and is God who came and took on flesh. And a dead man came alive and walked out of the tomb. What a family reunion they had. Mary and Martha and Lazarus rejoicing. And it didn't just happen one day, but it continued. This amazing testimony. Here is a man who was dead and he's walking around now. Well, we read in chapter 12, Mary, on an occasion where they're having a dinner party there in Bethany. And this dinner party takes place in the home of Simon the leper. Martha is serving. Lazarus is present. Mary, you remember, she expresses her incredible love for the Lord Jesus, but there's another person there who's watching all of this. And I want you to look again at verse 3. Well, look at verse 2. So they gave a dinner for him there. Speaking of Jesus, Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he's one of the 12, called by the Lord Jesus to come and follow him and to be discipled, to be trained in Jesus' moving seminary class, if you will. Wherever Jesus went, he's training and teaching and instructing and showing his glory to these 12 disciples. Judas, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Now we're going to look in greater detail at this matter of what Jesus is saying about the poor next Lord's Day. But let me just say up front, Jesus is not saying here that he doesn't care for the poor. And that we shouldn't care for the poor. He's not saying that. As we're going to see, the Lord Jesus has an incredible love for those who are in need. And if you are a Christian, we are living proof of how much he loves those who are poor. Because what resources did we have to come and bargain with the living God? So we're going to look at that more next Lord's Day. But what I want us to focus on today is the first aspect. Judas, he had unbelief. And as we've described it, chilling unbelief. Scary unbelief. Now, all belief is chilling. All belief is scary. It's horrifying. It ought to shock us. And yet, many times, we don't think of unbelief as we ought to. In our own hearts, there are times that our hearts grow cold to the living God. We become complacent. There are times when we don't feel like praying. There are times when we don't feel like reading the Word of God. Those are the seeds of unbelief. It is the same kind of unbelief that if it were left to grow, if it were left to develop, it would choke the life out in our own hearts and lives like Judas. And so one of the things that I believe we need to do is, as we look and consider this fellow Judas Iscariot and his unbelief, is to say, oh, Lord, please give me grace to love you, to be believing in you. Don't let me be like Judas. Well, what about Judas' unbelief is so shocking, so horrifying? Well, first of all, Judas did not love or trust the Lord Jesus. Now, that's shocking. Judas walked with Jesus. Judas saw Jesus. Judas touched Jesus. You think about the amazing things that Judas saw and heard Jesus do and say. Judas was present when Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. Judas was there. He saw and tasted what Jesus had done. Judas was there when Jesus cleansed the temple and said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. Jesus was present at the healing of the nobleman's son. Judas saw a lame man healed. Judas saw Jesus feed 5,000 men. Turn with me in the Gospel of John earlier. And let's read in John chapter 6. In verse 1, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand, and lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Now, a denarius is one day's wage. And so you can do the math. You think about 200 days' wages. There's such a crowd of people. He said, if 200 days' wages, if we were to go and spend 200 days' wages, two-thirds of a year of wages, it wouldn't be enough to buy but just a little bite for everybody present. And Jesus asked the disciples this question to test them. Jesus knew how he was going to feed the 5,000. They didn't. Then we read in verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" He says, "Jesus, we've kind of done a canvas and nobody thought to bring lunch, the only food we can find in this huge crowd, a little boy." And undoubtedly, his mama must have packed lunch for him, or he was very resourceful. Anyway, here's a little boy who's got, what, a huge amount of food, huge resources. here we have 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. 200 days wages, couldn't buy enough but just a little bit. Here's a little boy, he's got 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. But what is that? What is that for so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. In other words, the people there ate until they said, "Oh, I can't eat another bite. That's it for me. I'm full. I can't eat anymore." So they ate as much as they wanted, so also the fish. Verse 12, "And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten." 12 baskets of leftovers. This is a nice little passage showing that it's a good thing to save your leftovers. Okay? That's just a little aside. Here's the leftovers. 12 baskets full. "And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world.'" Judas saw that. Judas heard Jesus then say, "I am the bread of life. Moses didn't feed your fathers. They ate the bread that God sent down from heaven in the wilderness, but they died. But whoever eats of me, you will never die." And he's talking about eating by faith. Well, Jesus continued to demonstrate his amazing power, his wisdom, his glory. Judas was present when the Pharisees came and brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and saw Jesus with incredible wisdom expose their hypocrisy and deliver this woman. The Lord Jesus, he is the one who healed the man born blind in John chapter 9. Judas heard and saw this amazing demonstration of his power in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So many miracles. But not only did Judas see the miracles, miracle upon miracle upon miracle that only God can do. The blind saw, lame leap, lepers are cleansed, even dead people are raised to life. Judas saw it all, but he was full of unbelief. He did not love Jesus. That is chilling. He also heard Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 24, Judas was there when Jesus preached over and over and over. And look at verse 24 of Matthew 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And so as we face life, what's going to keep us in the midst of all of the storms of life surviving? It is to be built on the rock, to have our life resting on Jesus, the solid rock. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You see, the Lord Jesus, he spoke God's very word. He explained the truth. He who is truth. The scribes, all they could do is offer man-made religion. And they would base their teaching on having been taught by this rabbi, and he was taught by this rabbi, and he was taught by this rabbi, and he was taught by this rabbi. And that's how the scribes taught. But Jesus, he swept aside those human traditions and perversions. And he said, here's what God says. Here's the truth. And the people were astonished. The people were astonished, but Judas, one of the 12, was full of unbelief. So Judas was an eyewitness to the miracles of Jesus. He was an eyewitness. He heard the preaching of Jesus. He had been personally taught and discipled by Jesus. Judas, he knew the truth and proclaimed it. Think about that. Judas knew the gospel. He knew the gospel and proclaimed it. When the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, they had the last Passover, he declared, "One of you is going to betray me." And you remember what the disciples did when Jesus said that? Not a single one of the disciples, let alone all of them, immediately cut their eyes over at Judas and go, "Wonder who that's going to be." No, they didn't have a clue. Why? Because Judas had walked with them and appeared on the outside to be one of them. Look at Matthew chapter 10. In verse 1, he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And notice, all 12 of these, Jesus gave authority over unclean spirits and to cast them out. Look at verse 5. These 12, Judas is one of them, Jesus sent out instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." And he goes on giving instructions. Now, think about this. Judas, he preached the same gospel that Peter preached. Judas preached the same gospel that John preached, that Philip preached. Judas did mighty supernatural works by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like all the other disciples. And that night when the betrayal was announced, nobody had a clue who it was. They looked at each other. Who is it? And they turned to Jesus. And disciple after disciple said, Jesus, is it me? Is it me? John asked, Jesus, is it me? Who is going to do this horrifying thing? Judas' unbelief is a chilling thing. Judas' unbelief ought to shock us. Well, the last thing that I want you to see is over in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Not only had Judas seen the miracles Jesus performed, heard his preaching, Judas himself knew and proclaimed the truth, accompanied by miracles done in the name and by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. But Judas himself was confronted with this treachery of the betrayal and unbelief as he sat with Jesus at the Lord's Supper. But that even did not deter him. He left and went out into the night. And then the next time he sees Jesus is in the garden. And what does Judas do? He had told the Pharisees, now there's going to be a lot of people with him. And I know you want to know the particular one to grab with the cohort of soldiers. So I'll go up. And the one that I kiss on the cheek, he's the one that you want to arrest. And Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. Think about Judas' unbelief. It's shocking. It's horrifying. It's chilling. Look in John chapter 13. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Don't you love Peter? Great, great guy, you know. He just got a big mouth, and he loves to stick his foot in his mouth. I can really identify with Peter. Peter, he says, Lord, it's not fitting for you to wash my feet. You will never wash my feet. Well, Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter says, well, Jesus, if I need to be washed to belong to you, don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over. Wash my head and my hands as well. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. Oh, can you imagine? And hear the hardness of Judas' heart. See, that ought to shock us. That here Jesus now, he's saying, and you're all clean. Well, not all of you are clean. What does Judas do? He stands there. He sits there. He doesn't get up and just run out, but he keeps pretending. He keeps pretending. Oh, how deadly unbelief is. Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." We ought to be a servant to one another. That ought to be one of the characteristics of us as God's people. Jesus, he's the Lord and the teacher, and he has laid down his life for us. And we ought to be looking around us thinking, what can I do to help the people around me? In the name of Jesus. In his name. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you." Uh-oh, here we go again. And Judas sits through all of this. "I'm not speaking of all of you." And Judas' hard heart becomes even harder. "I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Judas is eating bread with Jesus, pretending that he loves him, but Judas does not love Jesus. And that's the bottom line. Unbelief. A hard heart, cold heart, a heart that would push Jesus away. "I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And Jesus, he's troubled. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. And one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," so that he should give something to the poor. Or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Wow. Judas, unbelief. Think about reading the Bible. Think about having other people tell you about Jesus. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and yesterday had the joy of celebrating with many in my extended family my mom's 96th birthday. And as I sat there, I just couldn't help but thinking back over the years. And I can remember as a little boy, my mama teaching me about Jesus. You know? I asked her yesterday, I said, "Mama, how old are you?" And she says, "Well, I can't remember." And I said, "Well, Mama, you are 96 years old." And she said, "That's old." You know, I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is, Mama." And I thought back, you know, she was the one who taught me about Jesus. But I had a hard heart. I could remember hearing those stories about Jesus she would read. But I was like Judas. I had a hard heart. Now let me ask you something. Do you love Jesus today? And if you do, you need to just leap for joy and with tears of gratitude say, "Lord Jesus, thank you that you have not left me with a heart of unbelief." If you love Jesus, if you are trusting in Him, oh, what an amazing work has taken place in our hearts. Jesus has come, and He's done a heart transplant on us. He's taken out our heart that was hard toward Him, a heart that would push Him away, a heart just like Judas. And He's given us a heart that's soft, a heart that would respond, that would say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I do need you to wash my sins away." Oh, be careful. Don't let your heart grow hard and cold. How are you doing walking with Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you close to Him? Do you have great joy to pray, to feed upon His Word? And if you are like me, our hearts kind of ebb and flow. May He come this day and show us a new and afresh how sweet it is to be close to Jesus. And how horrifying it would be to have a heart that would be hard and harder and harder and harder and perish in our sin, despising and despairing as Judas did. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What will you turn away from Jesus for? And you see, if we really see who Jesus is, then it doesn't matter what it costs us to follow Jesus, does it? We say, "Lord Jesus, I'm yours. My life is wrapped up in loving you and trusting in you and following you and serving you." And like that young lady in Nigeria, you know, whatever you do to me, I would prefer my freedom, but I must have Jesus. I'm willing to die for Jesus, but I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. You young people and children, you've had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. You've heard much about Jesus. You've seen prayers answered before your very eyes. Are the seeds of unbelief like Judas had growing in your heart? Run to Jesus this day. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He is a glorious Savior. Judas did not love Jesus. How shocking. Lord, deliver us from such a heart. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. You know, in the book of Revelation, turn with me to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5. John is privileged. Look in chapter 4, and we'll close with this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And so here we have now a description of the throne room of heaven. And in chapter 4, we have the angels, and they are falling down, and the elders representing the church, the people of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the 24 elders, there in verse 10, they're falling down before Almighty God, and they're worshiping. They can't help it. They can't help but worship. They can't help but love the living God. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Is that your experience? And if so, keep rejoicing in the living God. Keep praising and worshiping the living God. But if you see the seeds of unbelief, if you think back over this week and go, you know, I went for long stretches of time and didn't even think about my great God. Those are the seeds of unbelief, like Judas had. Chilling, shocking. Run to Jesus this day and say, Lord, take those seeds of unbelief away. Don't let them grow. Don't let them capture my heart. Lord, you're worthy. And then in chapter 5, not only is God worthy to be worshipped because he's our creator and sustainer, but in chapter 5, he's the one who's given his son to redeem us. Jesus was willing to come and drink the cup of wrath to take our hell upon himself so that we could belong to the living God, adopted as his sons and daughters. We sing a song. Look at verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Now, is that how we live? Is that how we live, saying, Lord, you are my great God, and it's my joy to live in your world, and to serve you today. I get to get up and go to work to serve you, the King of Glory. Lord, I get to come home and have joy to serve you in this home. Lord, you're the one that I live for. You're the one that I do my schoolwork for. Lord, when I play, I'm playing for your praise. Lord, as I'm eating this food, I'm thanking you. Lord, as I drink this cup of water, Lord, thank you for making this thing called water. On and on and on. That's how we live. Because Jesus is worthy. But Judas, chilling, hard, cold, betraying, unbelief. Oh, may the Lord deliver us. May it shock us to see those same seeds that would grow in our own hearts. You know, if you have a garden, when is the best time to pull weeds? When you first see them. You know, you can just take your thumb and finger when the weeds first come up and you can just pull them up easy. But let them grow and grow, and those weeds, they'll choke the very life out of a little plant. So it is with us. And God has recorded this in His Word. May the Lord give us a heart like Mary, who says, Lord Jesus, I love you. You are worthy of extravagant love. And Lord, whatever it takes, I'm yours. Take me and use me to be a servant, to wash the feet of the people around me. And Lord, give me joy doing it for you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would write upon our hearts your word. Lord, as we think about this disciple who gave himself to evil, who willingly denied and turned away from the only one who could give him life, and he perished in despair at his own hand. Oh, Lord God, please, please pour forth your Spirit this day. Lord, revive our hearts. We who have believed in you, Lord Jesus, renew us this day. Lord, to hate our own sin, to turn from it, and to be trusting in you, Lord Jesus, to be washed in your precious blood afresh. And Lord, if there be any in this place who, Lord, see for the first time that they need you, Lord Jesus, to save them, Lord, draw them unto yourself, that they would run to you, Lord Jesus, and embrace you. Lord, how we thank you that you are powerful and mighty to save. You are so kind and patient and gentle. Lord, please deliver us from unbelief, like Judas said. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, if you will turn